Just a note before we start. Our show talks about touchy subjects that may be difficult for some of our listeners. Take care of yourself. If you feel you need to seek help, see the links at the end of our show notes for resources.
Welcome back to Touchy Subjects. I'm Sean.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we are joined by a special guest, Melva. So thank you for joining us today, Melva.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
And we are very excited to talk to you today. So really quick before we jump into it, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am Melva LaJoy LeGrand, and you'll learn more about me. But I am an event planner, business owner based here in Washington, D.C. I am a proud newlywed. I think I can still claim that after being married just over a year. And today I'm really grateful to be able to talk with all of you a little bit about my survivor story.
Well, and we are very glad to have you here today, Melva. So really then, just kind of jumping into it, what's your story?
Sure. I think I'll say it in stages, right? So I was, and I can't imagine I'm the only person who was this way, but I was a little bit of an awkward kid. And how that showed up is I was quiet. I was not particularly comfortable in my skin. And for those of you who clearly you can't see me, I was that kiddo with a huge oversized afro. And because I wasn't comfortable with it, I would pull it out to the point of being bald. But I was also a kid grappling with being sexually abused at a young age, and found myself at the time unable to really articulate what was going on, not until my young adult life. And so through that journey, I, you know, like so many others, found myself shouldering shame. And because I was shouldering the shame, I sought out affirmation and confirmation of my worth in all of the wrong places. And through my young adult life, would find myself in and out of abusive relationships, would find myself healing from trauma of being raped, and would eventually find myself on the other side of that trauma through friends, through therapy, through so many support networks. And so that's a little bit into my survivor story.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I know that, especially like hearing in there the all of the other things that ended up happening after the initial assault and stuff. And we know when we've talked to, we've said it a few times on our podcast, where when someone who's experienced sexual assault, especially at a young age, we know that they are at a much greater risk for experiencing other forms of violence later in their life and even repeated perpetration again. And Melva, when we were talking before we met, you kind of talked about how some of those like bad things also you're able to look back on them and now kind of grow from them. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit for our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I would say is when you're in the thick of it, or let me say when I was in the thick of it, I was angry, I was bitter, I was all of the things. Because I was carrying the weight of trauma that was not mine to carry, right? And so once I got connected with, for me, a really good therapist and multiple therapists, for me, medication, for me, a faith-based practice, I was able to look back at my story and realize that my pain had a purpose. I really believe that. And if you're listening to me, I think if I heard myself say that when I was going through it, I would roll my eyes and be like, she's got to be kidding me. What do you mean? And I think what I would say to folks is I recognize that for every traumatic experience, and there have been a litany of them, they have built who you are meeting right now. They have built my capacity for empathy. They have built my capacity for discernment. They help me to deconstruct and reconstruct what a healthy partnership looks like. It's why at this stage in my life, I'm able to be the wife that I want to be to my extraordinary husband. And I am so grateful that when I was at my lowest of low, and I'm talking about being suicidal, because I think there's an influx of that right now, or we're hearing more about that now. I am so, so grateful that I held on. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you hear nothing else, like, hone into this part, wait for this season. Whatever trauma you are going through right now, I can tell you there's a season beyond it. Wait for that season. Please, please wait for that season.
That's an extremely powerful message, because we know it's like, as someone who's also experienced like depression and stuff, there's always points where you're like, is it really worth it at this point? And everyone may have that different moment. Some people may never experience that, but it's pushing through that point or trying to latch on to something that helps you keep going. And that something doesn't have to be big. For some people, that's making sure that they feed their goldfish the next morning. But for some people, that could be, my mom would be sad if I wasn't here anymore. And whatever your reason, that's a good enough reason. And we are glad you're still here. Just as I am glad you're here, Melva, to be able to share that message with our audience, because that is a powerful message that I'm sure somebody listening is going to need to hear.
I think it's really powerful coming from you, because that's like, just what people say, right? Everybody out there says something along the lines of, oh, hold on, things will get better. And somebody who's in the throes of that experience are like, what do you know about it? How are you going to be able to tell me that things are going to get better? You don't know my life. So hearing it from somebody who has been there, who's experienced some of these things, and to know that there is something to hold on to, there is a next phase, a next season, as you called it, that is still out there for them.
Yes. And I would also say that, because I want to be honest, right? I think that what also needs to be said is that season, well, let me speak for myself, took decades. And I think sometimes, because my perspective is, we're in a culture of gotta have it now and social media and blah, 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 and this looks perfect. Sometimes your season takes time and it's still worth the wait. And the other thing I would say, when Sean was talking, I almost teared up because I was thinking about, well, what kept me? And what kept me was my late father, Melvin, who I am named after. And I can remember a moment distinctly, I've actually not talked about this, where I was at a point where I was very depressed, very on the brink of suicide. And my dad kept me, he talked to me. And so what I would say to trauma survivors, whether it's sexual in nature, is that sometimes when you can't keep yourself, as was the case with me, it is okay for somebody else to step in and to be your foundation, because people need people. Shame is not meant to be shouldered. First of all, it's not your shame, but trauma is not meant to be shouldered alone.
Yeah. When you have people who are supportive of you, who love you, who want what's best for you, that makes things better. Sure, maybe they don't have the right things to say, or maybe they say the wrong things, but at least you know that they have your back. Having that somebody there who's going to be that person that if you know you need something from them, you can rely on them. And I'm so glad that you were able to bring up your father, Melva, because I know from talking to you before just how much he means to you. So I appreciate that there was a way we could sneak him in here.
Well, thank you for that. You know, outside of my name, I appreciate that.
Yes. So really, speaking of your father, though, how important was it for you to have people like your father or others in your life around to help you through these situations or to help give you that power back?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So my dad, and many people know this, was absolutely my first love. He set the standard for how I should be treated. Now, I made other choices, but he did set the standard. And when I came forward, because I didn't come forward as a young child, I came forward as a young adult about what had happened to me, I worried. Would he still see me in that same way? And my father had such a cool, calming, he was 6'3", presence. But not only did my dad see me, and excuse me if my voice is cracking, but he loved me in a way that was so full and so affirming that I knew I was still his, I was still valued, I was still worthy. My dad did that. My mother too. The first person I told about my past was actually a dear male friend. And this is a great opportunity for me to talk to someone who's listening and wondering, well, how do I help a friend? Will you listen without judgment? And my friend, my male friend, gave me the gift of listening for what felt like hours, and he did not say one word. And it was that friend who encouraged me to talk to my parents. And so there are people throughout my life who have collectively decided to be my foundation, be my allies, listen without judgment, and that built my tribe, right? And we all need a tribe. And I would say that also throughout the journey, what I think you'll find is that some people are not worth your emotional capital because some people won't understand. So I think it's leaning into those people, to your point, Sean, that affirm you and remind you of your worth. And it's also being okay letting go of the people who are attempting to confirm your negative narrative. Sometimes we got to get rid of people. Sorry. Does that mean?
No, that's not mean at all. I think
we did an episode. It's not mean it's necessary.
Yes. We recorded an episode with someone last week. And we're going to for their podcast, and we talked about ghosting. It's like sometimes you just gotta cut people out. Like some people just aren't good to have around you. That doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad person. They're just not maybe a good person for you. And Melville, one of the things I want to point out in there too is just how reassuring it had to have felt for you to, after you told your father, for him to still feel like, for you to be able to still feel like you were still his. Because even if you felt like you had lost a piece of yourself or you felt like you weren't you anymore, like he still saw you as that person. To him, you were still you.
And sometimes we need that support system to ground us back into ourselves. And like you said, you know, it's okay sometimes if you can't take care of you to let someone else help shoulder that burden a little bit. And I loved your story right then about how your male friend said nothing. I think this is so important for everyone out there to hear because we're all worried, right? About, am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to somehow make it worse? You don't have to say anything to be that supportive person for someone. You just sometimes need to be there for them and maybe give them a little bit of encouragement to talk to someone else who might be able to help them more. And, you know, I'm sure when your friend was sitting there not saying a word, they were probably like, is this the right thing? Is this what I should be doing right now? Should I say something profound and, you know, with all this meaning behind it? Just being there to listen to you was enough, and just giving you that nudge to talk to your parents. I love it.
Thank you. I think in that moment, I felt seen in a different way, because I think if you were someone like me who has experienced trauma, you're objectified. And part of how you're objectified is you're not seen. You become this entity that someone uses and abuses, and there's no you left in that transaction because there's no consent. And for me, in that moment, for my friend to be silent was a gift, because I understood that he saw me. He saw me. And that was powerful for me.
Now, speaking to more around kind of helping survivors, though, Melva, sometimes we may not know if we know a survivor or not. So what do you think is something that people can do that may help survivors, even if they don't know if they know one? So, like, let's say you and I were friends and I never knew that you had experienced a sexual assault. What would be things that I can do that would make you feel comfortable or helped or supported, even if I didn't know?
Oh, that's such a good question. Wow. Okay, so what comes up for me is a couple of things. One, I think that if you don't know, I think functioning as someone who models healthy relationships and healthy language. So for me, and this may be too much, but I am turned off by people who are generally judgmental, or generally, you can kind of always identify someone who is negative, someone who promotes shame, someone who is always the demeanor in the group. And so what I would say is, be of the spirit where your natural way of being is actively listening. Your natural way of being is having empathy for a variety of experiences. Your natural way of being my friend is loving and affirming. You're not putting me down. You're not questioning me. You're not taking, you're not, you are a positive component, a positive part of my life. And when you are a positive part of someone's life, it's inevitable that they'll become vulnerable. If I think back to my friend, he was someone who always made me laugh. He was someone that I always saw defend others against the bully. Like, he was modeling for me. I was like, wow. And he was a male. He was modeling for me good, healthy behaviors. And when we had casual conversations, he was actually listening to me. And I remember being fascinated, like, oh my gosh, he's really listening to me. And so it opened up a space for me to be vulnerable. So what I would say to someone is, be the type of friend that you would want. Be the type of human that we all deserve. And watch how people show up as their authentic selves.
That's really, really powerful to say. We all know people who have been abused or raped or sexually assaulted in some way. And we may never know that we know those people. Not everybody is comfortable sharing those stories. So to live your life in a way that lets others know they're safe with you is huge.
So one of the things that I did like in there too, Melva, is really just hitting on the point of being that good listener. Because we can always tell when someone's who is actually listening to us, or if they're kind of like off in la la land. It's actually a discussion that my girlfriend and I had the other day. And I was like, I want you to know that when you are talking to me, if I'm looking at stuff on my phone, I am still actively listening to you. She's like, oh, I'm aware. She's like, I know when you've actually tuned me out. So we all know when people are listening to us. And being able to feel like somebody can actually talk to you and feel like you're listening to them is huge on them just feeling respected by you. And if you feel respected by someone, you are definitely going to feel eventually like you can be vulnerable with them. And sure, maybe that person never tells you that they've experienced a sexual assault because they don't have to. But knowing that you are a safe person for them, or someone who will listen to them, if something else bad happens to them, now they know they've got you in their corner.
That's right. That's right. I think if we could just all of us take on identities, right? Every day we have to be this way at work or this way at home. Well, just being and becoming a safe space. Imagine if more of us were like that. What that would mean for transgender youth, what that would mean for someone in an abusive relationship, what that would mean for someone struggling with the eating disorder. Like, just imagine if we were, and I don't mean to sound hokey, but just imagine if we functioned in that way, because I assure you, I am convinced we all have stories. We all have stories. We all have moments that maybe shook us to our core, and we all need someone, or hope to meet someone, that will hear us, listen to us, believe us. Why shouldn't we be that way?
And don't worry, doesn't sound hokey at all, because that's really, you know, the crux of what I try to do for a living. So if it sounds hokey, then I'm really just doing a laughable job.
Not at all.
And if we can create these spaces where people have this safety and have the support all around them for any of life's traumas, then we can help reduce that feeling of shame that people will inevitably put on their own shoulders about whatever it is that they're going through. Just like you said, you know, it's not yours to bear. It's not your fault. But we still do that. We still do that as people who have experienced trauma. We try and minimize the trauma. We try and think of what we could have done differently or how we contributed in some way. And if we were surrounded by that supportive system from the beginning of it, and people were open to talking about it, then we could reduce that shame.
Yeah. So, Melva, knowing that people listening to our podcast have some kind of vested interest already in either helping victims of sexual assault or who have experienced it, what is something that you would want a survivor to know that may be going through it at the moment?
So, for my fellow survivor, I want him, her, or they to know there is no fall that you can't recover from. And I mean that sincerely. I have had the sexual trauma, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse. I've made poor financial choices. I've probably medicated at times with alcohol. I've not always been a kind and gracious person, and yet I can tell you that there is something after all of that, after all of that. And if you find yourself in the midst of making a mistake after mistake after mistake, like I did, I would say to be relentless in your pursuit of healing. Be relentless in it. Be unapologetic about it. And however that may look for you, whether that's therapy, medication, a support group, be relentless in your healing because we need you. We need you. That's what I would say to my survivors.
Thank you for that. And one of the things that I would kind of just like add on to the end of that, if you are recognizing that you've made mistake after mistake after mistake and you feel like you keep making them, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to do what you need to do to help cope with what you're experiencing. It's what, at the moment, you needed. And that's okay.
And you are worthy of forgiving yourself for the things that you've done, the things that you've said, what you needed to do to survive at that point. You're worthy of forgiving yourself for those things, even if you know they weren't the right choices, even if, you know, they were poor choices at the time. Forgive yourself, because when you forgive yourself for those decisions, you're allowing yourself to be able to grow, to heal, and to keep just trucking on with life.
Yeah, I would say when you were talking, I was thinking, I would say to a fellow survivor that after the tests, after the mess, after the trauma, what I feel now, maybe this will mean something to somebody, but I feel very free. I feel very free. I have forgiven myself. I am very clear that I'm worthy of it all. And I actually, and this was the hardest part, I've forgiven those that have hurt me, because I couldn't live with the weight of that anger and hate in my body, in my spirit. And so now I live pretty free, not without some bruises, not without some texture, but I am emotionally, physically, spiritually present, and I am free. And that is available to all of us. We're worthy of it all.
Man, I love the just analogy of I have texture now.
Because I was just going to say that too.
It's such a good way to frame it instead of saying, oh, I have all of these scars or I have all of this like stuff. It's like, I just got a little texture now. And that, I am sure, took some time to get to.
Decades. Did I mention decades earlier? Decades!
Well, Melva, I know we are getting closer to the time in which you have to leave us. So, Melva, before we go, do you have anything else that you want to say to our audience?
I want to first say thank you to both of you for having this forum. I think it's so powerful and important and honorable and part of being the type of humans that I mentioned. So I'm very grateful that this exists. I also would be remiss if I didn't mention to my fellow survivors the free resources out there. So now I'm going to do a horrible job at remembering the number, but the RAIN Network has a lot of free resources for survivors. That's RAINN. And also for survivors and allies, the National, I want to say, Suicide Prevention Hotline is another resource, both of which I have used at different phases in my journey, and both of which could be helpful to you or to someone you know.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Melva. And also, just a quick plug for her, Melva also did a interview with RAIN. So please feel free to check that out as well. So Melva, before we sign off then, do you have any socials or anything you want to plug to our audience?
Sure. I would love to connect with folks on Instagram. I am at BeLaJoyful, which is BeLaJoyful. I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. I'll make sure I have a link to your Instagram also in our show notes. And thank you all for listening today. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Touchy Subs Pod. email us any questions, comments, or concerns to touchysubjectspodcast@gmail.com. And please rate us on your favorite podcast listening app. It really does help the show out.
And in the meantime, don't be afraid to challenge, ask, and discuss when it comes to touchy subjects.